I'm Jason Lopez. This is PodTech.net, and I'm with Martin Reynolds, a guru of analysts at Gartner. Thanks for being on the podcast.
My pleasure.
One of the interesting things that's come up at this Gartner conference, because we've got Java 1 just right across the street over here, is the fact that Jonathan Schwartz is now the new CEO of the company, a company that is renowned for its inventions, for innovations. This is a company that has basically innovated its way out of a lot of problems, or innovated its way into some pretty big revenue in the late 90s. But now it's kind of hit some hard times and is kind of building its way out. And I think the overarching question is not so much about Sun, but about whether it's possible to do that these days, to just purely come up with great innovations that can bring in the revenue and drive your business forward.
Well, the answer is yes, you can. And we have a really great example of that, which is Google. Look at the incredible advances Google is making, and that was perhaps one of the most innovative things we've ever seen when you look back to when Google was founded, just in terms of how they took infrastructure and search and turned it into a business. But there lies the challenge. Can you take this innovation and make it into business revenue? And that's perhaps where a lot of companies fail. Again, historically, we've seen places where innovation has brought a company back from the dead. Look at Intel, which was almost bankrupt when it brought the 386 processor out and managed to revitalize itself. We had similar things with Sun moving from workstations to servers in the past. So it is possible, but you're taking a chance. Unless you have a good process that couples that innovation to a market that you can grow, you're going to face a challenge. And this is the whole point of a startup. For every Google, there's a dozen companies that we can't remember anymore because they came and they failed.
What are some of the reasons for those failures? And I know that in some ways it's like cracking open a business textbook, but what are some of those main reasons that you see for tech companies failing out there?
Well, it's not so much why do they fail, it's why do they succeed. So let's take a look at what's going on with Apple with the iPod. Now, 8 years ago, something like a music player would have been an absolute curiosity because it would have been too expensive. The cost of flash was just ridiculous. It didn't make any sense. And all of a sudden, the cost of flash collapsed. New technologies came along. And what they meant is now everybody could have an iPod. And that really created an entire new Apple. They make more money now from iPods than they do from the Macs.
If we take a look at what happened with the development of the iPod, we see that this is a technology that was not necessarily developed by Apple, but it was one that Apple recognized, brought it in, redesigned some of the features of it, and then pushed it out there onto the marketplace. But they pushed it out into the marketplace not just as a technology, but as a piece of a larger vision for selling music. That seems like a long shot kind of deal. When you think of it happening at Apple, it's like, well, can that happen other places? And I'm wondering, how easily is it to replicate that kind of business?
Again, it's a sort of a luck thing, because none of these things look like great ideas when you first see them. They don't suddenly burst on the scene as a product that explodes. They've always been around for a few years. Then somebody gets the right combination of product and technology and marketing and business right, and then these things take off. But it's hard to formularize that. It's hard to say this is the process that we take to make innovation successful, because frankly, if you do that, you end up with warehouses full of stuff that nobody buys.
Do you see that coalescing anywhere right now in the marketplace? Do you see any like general areas where there are opportunities to put together a number of different pieces that could bring a business together like that?
Well, there are lots of things. So look at what's going on with media in the home. And we're talking about putting PCs in the family room, which doesn't seem that smart to me. My family isn't going to appreciate me browsing the web while they're trying to watch a TV show. But the idea that I'll have in my home a collection of media that I can have on demand on any entertainment appliance in the house, now that's appealing. And that's going to lead to development of silicon that lets you essentially remote the media. So think of a chip that does audio video into any TV or any boombox or any stereo in your home, all from a common central repository. It seems to me there's something there. Somebody's going to figure out how to turn this into a way to connect devices together with content.
Sometimes it's not the technology that inhibits it. You've got, you know, cable companies and software companies, chip companies, OEMs. Everyone wants a piece of this thing. How do we get through that part of the problem?
Well, part of the challenge here is that users usually find a way. So users found ways to get their music onto PCs and onto iPods. That was pretty easy. They found ways to get their DVDs onto central storage. There are people who do that. They store DVDs on little servers and watch them wherever they want. Users find their ways around this other stuff. And, you know, the truth is, if you want people to listen to or watch the content, eventually you have to expose it. And generally, the people will take a small drop in quality if it means an increase in convenience. Look at MP3, where the quality really is quite low compared to a CD, but it's become one of the most popular mechanisms for transporting music.
Do you think that we're going to see, within our lifetimes at least, an environment in which the user will dictate things even to that degree?
Well, we've got an interesting test case coming up with HD DVD. Either be the Blu-ray or HD. So what's going to happen is in the stores in a matter of weeks now, there'll be DVDs that play on these high-res players that can give you a much higher quality experience. Now, these DVDs are also strongly protected. It's very difficult to move, in fact, it's impossible to get the digital content off of those discs into a PC because of the mechanisms. Now, if the content industry is smart, I shouldn't say that, one of the opportunities the content industry has is to start releasing the HD content ahead of the regular DVDs. So not only do you get higher quality, but you also get earlier releases, which then means they can charge the premium for the product. But chances are that they'll hold the releases together or maybe even keep the HD behind. So all of a sudden, your customer base sees it in low quality. Sorry, they see it in DVD quality. And now there isn't sufficient step up to the HD quality to go out and buy the HD DVD because it's just, I don't want to watch it a second time, even if it looks better. So the industry itself has some business challenges to figure out here.
And this kind of takes us back full circle, perhaps, to the idea of can you just simply innovate your way out of a problem? Because if you're Sun or if you're any other company out there that needs to come up with a brand new idea on how to attack a problem, technically, you've also got to think of the fact that users may not want to watch something a second time, even if it is better quality. So even if you do provide the machine or the software that can enable that, it may not make any difference.
Right, because occasionally we get a product where the use model is so obvious that you don't really have to market it at all. People just line up and buy them. Look at PCs. Right? Look at how they exploded over the last 10 to 15 years. Right? You didn't have to do anything special just to make them. And indeed, through the 90s, we saw hundreds of PC manufacturers come and go. But a lot of other products actually need more than that. You've got to figure how to couple the innovation to the business. And I think that's the real challenge today. And truthfully, that's where Sun is challenged. They have a lot of innovation. They have to get the value from it.
I'm Jason Lopez. I've been speaking with Martin Reynolds, analyst at Gartner Group. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Jason.